When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is. Hi, beautiful.
Hi, beautiful. I'm excited to see you guys.
Are you having like special Emmy press that you have to do?
Not really, because in Hollywood, writers don't count for shit unless they're like also directors or if it's like a major film or something.
It's the afternoon awards, right?
With Eileen. Oh, no, excuse me. We are prime time.
Wow.
Girl.
We're about to get booted good off for this you. Podcast.
Yeah. You're not the technical. It's not the CGI.
No, it's not the technical. It's not the Saturday night one. It's the Sunday night
it's
one.
Not it's not the
daytime
one
Emmys.
It's not the Eileen Davidson giving
no,
the award.
No, exactly. No, exactly.
It's prime time drunk fest.
Yes, but unfortunately, we can't go because COVID restrictions have them limiting the number of people. And so, I was like bummed because my mom ordered me an outfit from Nigeria. Then we can't go. So
you were going to be like Wendy Osefo.
I'll never say that. Ever.
What are you trying to do? Start a fight this early on in the episode? My God.
No. You're gonna be and like you weren't gonna go with Happy and Ness. Oh what?
No, we were not cutting my titties out. Absolutely not. But I'm excited to wear the outfit someplace else. Maybe I'll actually get married or something and then, you know.
That's so funny.
I'm so happy you were able to come on today to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac. And
ooh, our nails match. Are you wearing peach color, by the way?
Yeah, it's like a peachy.
I have a peach gel manicure kind of thing going.
Oh my God, so. Me too.
I have nothing going. I have
what are you doing? What do you have against peach? What's wrong with you?
I know. You both talked about it. You did not include me.
I didn't text you.
Yeah, we didn't text you.
You didn't text me on the peach nails.
And are we both wearing olive t-shirts as well? What's happening?
No, mine is gray.
All right. Yeah. I was just looking for a way to tag team Arthi the way that Giselle and Robin do.
No, I know how. We're both in our 30s. That's the way that we
do. Fuck you all. You and your firebox cute cootie.
I spent a good amount of time in Sing Sing as well. That's great.
Bus stop right outside Sing Sing. You have to catch the bus.
It's whatever Cameron wants Sing It Sing to be. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, if I want to show my vagina, I will. If I want to show my pubic hair, I will.
You know what? I love Karen, and I think that Robin and Giselle are miserable, but I do not want to see Karen's pubic hair.
No, she does that. The pubic hair moment, if we can just dive in there.
Let's just do it.
Is the same as the Sing Sing moment. She knew that the conversation did not include her. That she was gonna come in and say something outrageous that would be part of the Bravo history. And
yes.
It would be in the archives. And it would be about Karen's pubic hair. She knew what to say just to diffuse the situation, make a funny, but at the same time, take the attention away from Giselle.
Yeah. I love Karen too, but I find her irksome in her obsession. Not obsession. I don't want to say obsession. She has a fixation on Giselle. I think there's, I'm a Kenya stan.
Mm-hmm.
So.
This may be a good time to introduce who our guest is.
People know who our guests are. They're reading the name of the episode, which will have Ray's name on it.
Kenya Stan. The Kenya Stan.
Yeah, the Kenya Stan.
The one and only Kenya Stan that's left on.
Excuse me. There's a contingent of 16-year-old gay black boys who follow me on Twitter who are also Team Twirl. Okay?
You know who's a little bit of a baby twirl?
Who?
Candace.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Candace is a baby twirl. She's a baby Kenya.
She's a baby is she a Kenya Stan? Do you mean baby twirl like she's a Kenya Stan or baby twirl like she's a little bit of a Kenya?
Oh, she's like she's Kenya Jr.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't give her that yet. I don't find her interesting enough, is the thing.
Interesting.
I actually find Giselle to be the Kenya.
I mean, for sure.
That's and true. But that also surprises me. I mean, they work together, but that surprises me about Giselle's relationship with Portia, because Giselle doesn't seem to suffer fools a lot. I wonder why she puts up with Portia.
Probably because of the pay.
Yeah. I was like, why is she at this party celebrating Simon? Like, she would never do that.
That's right.
She would never do that. If some woman started dating, I don't know, even Ray, she would be pissed. If somebody, you know, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on here? But anyway, I am a Kenya Stan.
We like to set the stage for our listeners.
Oh, yes. But
about
I'm
the
a
kind
Kenya...
of takes that are going to be happening today.
You are going to receive a Kenya. You will receive me maybe bringing up Kenya for no fucking reason other than I love her. And I stan Giselle and Robin, though I found them rather off-putting this episode. Mm-hmm. And I can't stand Wendy. Oh, no, I can't stand Wendy. And I think I'm mostly neutral on Ashley and Candace. And I don't really think I like Mia and Escala. That's it, right? Mm. We get that out of the
what
way.
What about Karen?
I love Karen, but she's a nut job. I love her the way I love Luann.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, aside from blackface. Karen can piss me off more than Luann pisses me off, because Karen is...
You expect more out of Karen than you do out of Luann.
I do. And also, there's a difference between a delusion and a lie.
Yes.
And I think Karen does a lot more lying than delusion in terms of ratio than Luann does.
Yeah, for sure.
Karen is smarter than Luann in some aspect of housewifery. Luann lucks out, where Karen is more deliberate.
I think Karen is irking me this season because Giselle is getting the Kenya edit. And I think she might be more deserving of the Kenya edit than Kenya is. But Giselle's getting the Kenya edit. And I think every single woman on the cast has figured out that the way to be fan favorite is to go at Giselle. And I think Karen is taking that lesson too far.
Interesting. Well, that's great. So let's pick up where we left off last week on Real Housewives of Potomac. We're in Williamsburg with Karen and Giselle fighting while enjoying what seems like a lovely lunch buffet. That spread looked amazing.
It looks so good.
And Karen wants Giselle to apologize. Giselle wants Karen to apologize. And the whole thing is just silly. It's just so silly to watch. And you know that even the people that are sitting there besides Robin, they all think it's pretty fucking silly too.
Yeah.
After the heaviness of Beverly Hills and New York, this is exactly the palate cleanser we want. It's a petty fight about nothing.
I also like Giselle does not get enough credit for being funny, in my opinion.
Yes.
I don't want Ray to die.
Yes.
I want Ray to live. I want Ray to pay his bills.
Yes. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing.
From a person whose ex is being indicted about not paying his bills.
She didn't know that when she said it, so it still gets to be funny.
It does, exactly. Yes. But Giselle often says something that by the time it airs, it's usually biting her in the ass, which is like another thing about Giselle that I love. Like, people don't think that Giselle is there to be made fun of, or she doesn't want people to talk about or whatever. But like, just last episode, the producer asked her, did Jamal divorce because you shat while you were giving birth? And she thought it was like the funniest thing in the world.
Yes.
So Giselle is there to be made fun of. She's fine with
she's,
it.
She's self-aware.
Yes.
I think that she, listen, I think people bring their own baggage to TV characters all the time. And I just think that people bring their history and traumas with mm-hmm. mean light-skinned girls yes. to mm-hmm. this show in a way that doesn't make sense to yeah. me, truly. The same way that they bring their baggage. I don't know why Candace pisses the audience off so much. Mm-hmm. I truly don't understand it. But there's something about, I don't know, maybe because I'm not a white woman, I don't notice it when I watch the other franchises, but I feel like the way some black folk bring their black people baggage to the Real Housewives, you know what I'm saying? It's really intense.
Well, what do you think about this? On Twitter and social media, they believe that the reason why there is a clear sort of baggage bringing on by people of color while watching Real Housewives of Potomac is based in colorism. That there is something
I think it's
there.
Present.
Yeah.
I think it's present, right? Mm-hmm. That's yeah. not me denying the existence of it in real life or on the show. Right? Mm-hmm. I think that even if there isn't active, like, cruelty in the way of colorism, there's just a difference in the world, the way the world treats people who look like Giselle and Robin. I thought Robin was a white woman when I first watched the show. Like, the first episode, yeah. thought Shorty was a white woman. And Giselle looks like black. She looks like mm-hmm. a black woman to me, but she's very clearly, like, Creole or mixed with something. Mm-hmm. And they're in upper class black circles, it matters. And the way they carry themselves, it shows all through that. I think maybe colorism had something to do with it, but there's also classism mm-hmm. in the way that they treated Monique. I think even Wendy to some degree. And I think Wendy is off-putting in her attempt to achieve her way into getting to be classist. I don't understand the resentment of Candace
yep.
because I'm going to draw a parallel with something that's probably entirely irrelevant. But did you see that Dr. Dre's daughter is homeless?
I didn't.
No.
Okay. So there was like a whole big conversation on black internet spaces that I saw that people were talking about Dr. Dre's daughter and how, you know, even though he hadn't seen her in person in 17 years, he was paying her bills up until last year. And I think she spoke to the press during his divorce with her stepmom. And so he stopped paying for everything. And now she was living out of a car while her four children, and I think with four different baby daddies or three, I don't know, were staying with friends. And to me, it was very clear that she might have led her life in a way that would, you know, be irresponsible or whatever. But if your dad's a billionaire, he should
yes.
take care of the minimum.
Yep.
And every sort of black space online, and I'm not trying to like talk shit about black people in front of two Desi women. So whew, this might be complicated. But it was like weird. Like there was an aggressively tough love measure.
Yeah.
You know, it was yeah. like, she's grown. She had them kids. She should go get money. And I'm like, or, you know, if your dad's a billionaire, you don't think you'll ever live in a car and you don't set yeah. up your life to be that way. And so I was wondering if the people in those comments
yes.
were the people bringing their aggression yes. to Candace.
Yes, they are.
Because they resent her for being, quote unquote, spoiled.
Yes.
And I'm just kind of like, or if your parents got it, they should help you. And if I had it and my kids needed it, I would help them.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
actually a perfect thing to bring in front of Desi women.
Yes.
Because in our communities, we expect the parents to take care of the kids if they are not self-sufficient and they have issues and they have other kids and they are poor. Regardless of how much they may be abusing the parents would still take care
yeah.
of the oh, children.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, we wouldn't have that.
Yes, exactly. So it's to the other extreme
yeah.
where the parents...
Oh, so you think you guys have more patience for Candace than maybe other people might?
We right. probably do, yes. We have far more patience for Candace, but it's interesting that you're bringing this up because I made a passing comment because it just like came up in my head on Twitter, and then the Twitter blew up, the mentions went bananas because Candace ended up retweeting it, and it was this idea that people were celebrating Mia for being a quote-unquote boss bitch, but Candace was made fun of for seasons upon seasons because her mother co-signed her townhouse. All of the fighting that happened on that Twitter thread were probably the same
people. It's still happening. Yeah,
I had to mute it.
You had to mute the thread.
But it was
Twitter is still happening.
But it was probably the people that you're talking about with Dr. Dre's daughter that are obsessed with this idea that we need to struggle. Everybody needs to struggle. And if you're not struggling, then you're a real piece of shit for not struggling. Like, you need to basically.
Yeah, we've been brainwashed by capitalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because we have to accept that our place is never going to be the top where we own the capital.
We
have to generate it, right?
Yeah.
And then also, I think maybe there's an element of like Black people knowing that for the most of us, that kind of generational wealth is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And there's a resentment of those who get it, you know, even if it's not like you didn't learn to work hard, like even if that were true and a valid criticism, it's also I'll never get there.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. But also, in some sense, that's not really, it's not wrong. It's just the way it is. It's what people feel. It's human nature. That's what you feel.
Sure. I think I resent the baggage bringing, right? Mm-hmm. Because that is true of the world that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not true in this world that we are watching, because the world was specifically curated to find people who fit a certain socioeconomic class. Yeah. And we're going to resent them. Like, I know it's supposed to poke fun at it.
Right.
But the vitriol with which people come at Candace is alarming to me, I think. It's like very alarming. And we've all agreed that this show is going to be full of bogus women being bogus. And we're going to work within that premise. And I think for some aggressive reason, they remove both the green-eyed bandits and Candace from the premise. They just bring them into the real world and hate them as real people.
Yeah.
That stresses me out a lot.
It takes the fun out of the other franchises.
Yeah. But I don't see it in, like, the Potomac online since last season has gotten so toxic. And this used to be fun to tweet about. I used to have so much fun tweeting about
Instagram is a little bit more fun.
Yeah, in the Potomac areas, you just need to come over. Twitter, you're just in the wrong medium, because Instagram.
And also, unfortunately, because the world is dumb, as we've talked about pretty much every time you've been on the pod, we've talked about how Twitter is becoming insane. I think that there is a group of crazy people who just want to fight with you about anything.
Anything. I've learned that it's not me, it's the blue check.
It is.
Yes, exactly.
It is. The minute you have any take, they're like, who the fuck is this bitch talking? Like, 1 week you could say, I love
How'd
Karen.
You get the next the blue week. Check, bitch.
That's truly often what you I don't even know you.
Yeah, you're coming from a place of privilege because you have a blue check.
No, low key. They call us blue check blacks, like we're in a different class or something. It's so crazy. Like, anytime a person with a blue check who is Black says something that another Black person without a blue check likes, it's a quote tweet. These blue check Blacks keep losing their minds. I'm like, what does that even mean? You say Blacks with an S. That makes you the racist. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's you and Sonia Morgan calling us Blacks. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing.
Let's go back to the boxes that people want to put Candace and Giselle and Robin into. They are like putting them into certain boxes. They're also putting Wendy into a certain box.
Okay, what box would you think that is?
They are putting her into the elite, educated, bougie Black person who's going to have to inspire the rest of the generation, and therefore has to be in a certain way and has to present herself a certain way
Here's the thing. I have to disagree with you about Wendy asking for it, because Mia says, so this episode, let me just do a quick overview, and then because we're all over the place.
Oh yeah, we should talk about the show we watched.
We are talking about the show we watched.
I'm sorry.
The ladies are on Williams Williamsburg, Karen and Giselle argue over lunch. Then they just have, Candace, for some reason, is the voice of reason, which is, you know, alarming to several people, but not for me, who's always loved Candace from the beginning. Cottage versus estate situation. And honestly, the situation in the cottage felt like to me like elder abuse, because nobody should be making Karen lug anything up any stairs. That was fucked up. We did get a glimpse on Ashley and her stupid predator husband being obsessed with wine.
I'm done with them filming this.
Done! Guy. I'm shocked that that man got to come back on camera. Why, like, is he on camera?
And far be it for me to be like, it's not fair how the world treats men. But if he had groped a woman, mm-hmm. this man would be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This man has groped several men.
Mm-hmm. Continues to pick on one.
Yes.
I don't know if he's picking on him or wanting to.
Either way, I actually found his conversation with Ashley so out of line. Yeah. So out of line. Like, I know that I'm very partial to Robin. That's my boo. But, like, aside from that, you are a groper.
Yep.
You don't get to sit here and kiki and haha about how Ashley's coworker is not getting loved on by her man, you weirdo. You were at a party where you started fights about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you really started a fight because a man that you met through this TV show is marrying a person he knew since he was 17. Are you nuts? Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yep.
Are you okay? And it was like such a non sequitur.
He went off on the Bravo producers, threatened to punch them.
Do you remember?
And
do you remember
then how, they still have him on the show.
Yeah.
And do you remember how creepy he was that one reunion when that season when the women went at it the most aggressive? Was that season 3 where they were all in the white at mm-hmm. the reunion?
Uh-huh.
And he was like standing over the balcony staring. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's physical intimidation if you ask me.
Yep.
And then he groped an employee.
Yep.
Of the production company.
Very first scene of him groping was Katie's boyfriend.
Katie's boyfriend, Andrew, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. And so then I'm sitting here being like, a YouTuber that I love, her name's Erica De Niro. She says this is Ashley and his shared white privilege.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. Ashley, as a biracial woman who doesn't appear white, but doesn't necessarily look the blackest, she's in this relationship with a rich white predator, the only white predator on the show. Mm-hmm. And then Bravo gets to giggle it off, and she gets to help him mm-hmm. rehabilitate his image 3 seasons. I don't understand it. And I don't think that if Eddie Osefo tried any of the shit that he would Michael Darby tried, he would
get. Yeah. Exactly. Eddie Osefo doesn't even have to have an affair. He's already blacklisted.
Yes.
Like, he's already being talked shit about.
Right. Because I don't think he's.
Yeah, he's wife, not. Like, he's not.
Not at all.
Yeah. He's not.
The rumors seem very absurd to me. But yes, I'm so done with Michael Darby.
Yeah.
And there, God forgive me, it's not nice to talk about children, but Dean is one interesting looking kid. Okay.
Like John C. Riley. He looks like John C. Riley.
Shake and bake, bitch. It's like,
oh my God. Especially in his suit, like in his shirt. He looks like John C. Riley in Chicago.
Yes. He's got the widow's peak and the little curls.
Yes.
He looks and look, I don't mean that in a terrible way, because I love John C. Reilly. I like Baby Dean, and I certainly like both of them more than Michael Darby, who he also looks like. So I think John C. Reilly is the better one. But yeah, that baby is.
Did you see when Ashley was like, Michael, I think this baby looks like me.
And Michael was this one looks like me. She was like, Dean looks like me.
No, that was Ashley praying. Okay. That was Ashley saying a prayer.
I was saying that last week when she said, she looked at the baby and she said, I didn't feel comfortable about the baby. But then when I looked at him, I felt like he belongs to our family. I'm like, she was just dreading looking at another Michael face. Michael.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, thank God, he looks like me.
Yeah. Also, have you noticed, like, when Ashley's having these conversations with Michael, and I don't know if I've always picked up on it, she's always holding back, like, a nervous grin.
Because they're staged. That's why.
They're so fucking staged. It's so bad.
Staged. And she's like holding back her next line that she knows she needs to say for that scene. That's what it is. It's like she knows what's coming next.
I will say, so they were on Watch What Happens the day of the premiere.
Oh, fuck.
Which was so fucking annoying. Why would you put Michael there?
And he was behind the bar, and I was like, why does she get to showcase this predator? Like, they broke up with it, and I know that the talent gets more respect than
how do you think the producers and the cameramen feel?
How do you get away with that in this day and age, to be honest?
So they were on, they talked about how recently there were pictures of Michael at a bar talking to a bunch of women or something like that.
Oh,
and somebody
dear.
Posted a video, whatever. And they kind of said, they had a very planned answer, but I think something that they're running with now, which was that they both like to go out and have a good time, and they just trust each other to know that nothing is going to happen that the other person doesn't know about. Because the whole thing last season was that Ashley was upset that Michael didn't tell her. But I guess the new thing with their marriage that they're really talking about is they have an open relationship and they go out. And Ashley said she also likes to have fun outside. So it seems like that's their thing now. We're like, now Ashley's washed her hands of it to say, you can't bring this up as a storyline for me anymore because I'm already getting ahead of it to tell you that my husband does like to go out and grope people on and off my place of business. and we're just going to be okay with it. And it's so gross. It's like,
I also don't buy that. Yeah. I also don't buy that. Agreed. I think their relationship started off very interestingly and sexual.
Yeah.
Yes. And then she had children and told him, you not going to do that shit no more. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he did it anyway. And this is her settling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that Ashley is feeling frisky.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think that there's like a sense between the both of them of like, we're like semi swingers and we like to sometimes go out and pick up chicks or dudes or whatever. Like,
which was present the first season, I think.
I understood they had like a unique marriage, and it seemed like maybe that was another reason for why Michael didn't want to have kids with her. But now that she's had the kids, I think you're absolutely right to say that like she's not wanting to do that anymore. And also, I think Ashley's just trying to stick through this until the dude croaks.
But also I think that you brought up an interesting thing is that he didn't want kids because he didn't want his lifestyle to be cramped.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they have agreed upon is that you give me the babies. I want to have babies because I want babies, but I'm not going to let your lifestyle be cramped. So you can go do whatever you want to do as long as you tell me.
Yes, but what is the embarrassment in articulating that for us instead of wasting our time with these stage scenes where he suddenly gives a fuck about his toddler?
He does not. He doesn't give a shit about his kids. I know. Well, Ashley's somebody who very much wants to control the narrative that is being told about her.
Without the like controlling the narrative aspect of it, I suppose you wouldn't remember that Ashley's a pageant queen.
Yeah.
If you didn't, because I forget all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't forget with Candace. I forget with Ashley.
Yeah.
You cannot when the mic is in front of her.
Yeah.
She's like, happy birthday.
She's like Luann. She will sing happy birthday at any moment.
Yes. No birthdays. It's a funeral. Nobody was born. She's singing happy birthday. It's
crazy. And then, of course, they have this dinner and we see a lot of Giselle and Robin talking shit about Wendy. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Robin because she brings up this thing at the dinner about what clearly she's defining as her depression. Everybody except for Giselle seemed like pretty concerned about her. And Giselle was like kind of being a dick. Like, this is your best friend. She was not being very nice to Robin about her depression.
So here's where my Giselle apology will kick in.
Okay. All right.
I don't think she was being any more fucked up than she would be to anybody else.
That's true.
We saw her awkwardly giggle when her daughter failed her test on camera while the twins were trying to stifle guffaws.
That is true.
I think that Giselle is somebody who speaks very frankly. Mm-hmm. Girl, now my problem is that Giselle is so male-centered.
Yes.
She's thinking about Juan thinking it's attractive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that was a bad friend. I think that was a friend who communicates the way she does, but has internalized misogyny.
Oh, that's a great, that was an excellent analysis of what the issue is with Giselle.
You bring up a good point in that Giselle, when she talks like that to Robin, they're like, the way Karen looks at it is no one's spared, not even Robin, her best friend. Where's her loyalty, right? But the other flip side of it is that Giselle is the same regardless who she is talking to.
Yes.
It comes down to intention. And I think Giselle's intention in that moment is that, Robin, don't fuck this up. This is a good deal. He has a job. He's bringing in a paycheck. I work to make sure that this happens. Don't fuck this up. And you want this. And it's something that Robin wants. And she's like,
exactly.
If you want this, you need getting her to girl, do
she's
what
getting her girl together.
Do. Yeah. Right.
Yes. She's getting her girl together. Right. I thought that was so strange. I was like, you don't see how they talk to each other?
Mm-hmm.
That's
remember,
true.
Remember, last year at the dinner, Robin turned her.
Yeah, she did.
I don't remember what it was about, but Robin corrected Giselle. Yeah. And Giselle's only issue was that don't take another girl's side. It wasn't how you talked to me.
Yeah, that's true. Just Robin said to Giselle that we never see Jamal.
Yeah,
that's what the conversation was. Yes. She said, yeah, we never actually see Jamal, but like you can bring him around. And even Robin this season was like, in the beginning of the season, said Giselle's house looks like shit.
Yeah, I think the general response to that it's just because no one likes those two, so they want to see a rift between them. I'm sure Giselle has said worse to Robin. I'm sure Robin has said worse,
to Giselle. Yeah. I think there's a true friendship there, and they don't really care what they say to each other. It may seem out of place in this bigger group of friends, but between the two of them, they understand where they're coming from.
And I think that Giselle has more than proven her loyalty to Robin over the course of this series.
Even still maintaining that Juwan loves Robin and they're going to get married. So that's
I don't know if they'll get married, but I do think that Robin and Juan love each other. I'm not sure if it's like, you know, young puppy love or whatever. I think that they've settled for each other, but I don't think settling for each other means not loving each other. Can I say that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's kind of like when we watch Robin and Juan together over all these years, and fucking Juan Dixon is like, I think it's unattractive that you wake up.
Yeah, I think that's a dickhead thing.
I think it's unattractive that you cheat on your fucking wife, dude.
Hello?
And like, that's what I think is unattractive. But then also, like, over the years, Juan and Robin, I don't feel like a chemistry between them. Like, I don't think either of them are necessarily that sweet to each other. Or whatever. So I think even that relationship between Robin and Giselle, which you bring up such a good point, is like they're kind of dicks to each other, but that's their dynamic. I think Robin is also used to that. Like sounds like she's like used to like abuse, but like it's not that. I think that's just her vibe. Like she's like, this is just how I am with my people.
I don't know what else to call it, but tomboy energy. Robin gives me like a
she's
lot
chill.
Of like,
she's chill.
I hang with the boys.
Yeah.
I talk with the boy. Like, you know, I mean, I'm sure that things Juan says to her are not nice. And he's less than romantic, but I'm a person who's not particularly romantic either. And I just feel like maybe Robin's just not romantic. Like, if you did something sweet for me, like propose at a party in front of all my friends, I would be so uncomfortable. Like, what the fuck? This is not sweet. I would be like, what? Why are you showing people you give a shit about me? We have kids. That's evidence.
Quick slap me across the face in front of everybody.
Yes. And maybe that's a low self-esteem issue or whatever, but like, it's uncomfortable. Like, I didn't grow up in an affectionate family.
I'm such an opposite. When it
you love romance, girl?
I love romance and I get me none too. Of it. My husband is exactly like you. He doesn't quite understand why.
Yeah,
why
don't
I talk to you
every day? You should get it. I say hi. I say good morning.
You. I wouldn't have a kid with you. I wouldn't
exactly.
be living with you.
Isn't this obvious?
Yeah.
I'm like, That's what a roommate would do. That's what.
Yes.
No, but I don't want
to. So I'm like Arthi. I like need a lot of affection. My love language is like words of affirmation and a lot of physical affection. But,
oh, okay.
And my husband is the complete. He's like Arthi's husband. He's like you, Ray. Like he's like, I don't need to talk to you about my feelings all the fucking time. It's weird. Okay.
Yeah. Oh no, don't get me wrong. I will talk to you about my feelings. I'm still crazy, but I won't. Hug
and
you
and emotional. I
I'm not gonna like,
but not the romantic feeling.
Yeah, I'm not gonna wine and dine you.
Yeah. So my
I think
husband,
you would talk about all other feelings.
Yeah, exactly. I have no problem trauma dumping, being angry for no reason. All of that.
That's not the feeling. That's not the feeling that Nora is talking about.
So my husband, because he's like that, I've actually now become the type where if he, for some reason, wants to be complimentary to me now, I'm like, what is happening? Are you cheating on me? Like, why are you doing this?
What did you do? What did you do? Where were you? Who did you talk to? Who did you text?
So I can see that Robin is like that. And, you know, she's got, like, boys in the house. Yeah. Like, I grew up with brothers. I've got two sons. Okay. Like, it is... Yeah. I understand.
And Juan is such an alpha male, maybe not in an actual sense, but this is a professional athlete.
I know.
Who coaches.
Surrounded
and their sons
time.
Play sports. Yes. Exactly. Like, I don't know. I just get tomboy energy off of them. I don't really. I mean, aside from Karen, who I think deserves to have it pointed out that her husband actually said on camera he doesn't love her because she likes to weaponize her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredibly cruel to walk around telling people their man don't love them. I just think that that's like a really, so even if Juan doesn't love Robin, I guess we could talk about it because we're viewers of a TV show and these are characters, but like fuck Michael Darby for saying that. Everyone in the world has the right to say the same exact about you.
Yeah.
You know? Even though you married her, we saw you be a dick about a post-nup for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. That she had to live in a separate apartment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's
just, maybe I just feel protective of those green-eyed bandits because I love them so much. But I do think it's very cruel to walk around talking about people's husbands don't love them.
100%.
And, you know, with Giselle trying to I don't think that Giselle says herself she doesn't believe the Eddie rumors. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a very cruel thing to walk around repeating that the internet believes that this woman's husband doesn't love her, that he would be cheating on her and having a baby with a white woman. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, you don't tell a black woman that her man had a baby with a white woman on her. No. Oh, dear God, that is evil. Yeah. And so I don't like that this cast likes to attack marriages. Oh. Not because I think marriages are particularly sacred or anything. Just like the cruelest thing you can do to somebody is to tell them the person they love the most in the world don't feel the same. Yeah. Also, you can score points. And then to throw the misogyny that they throw on top of it. I don't know. It's just fucked up.
You said that Karen likes to weaponize her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the fact that Karen is married and she weaponizes that. Giselle is divorced and still weaponizes marriage. And
yes.
The fact that you need a man. And the,
yes,
the,
I hated the, so the much.
Single, and then she picks on single women for, and both Giselle and Karen pick on the other single women for not having a man and not having a marriage. So it's like marriage. And the fact that you may or may not need a man, it's so weird that at the same time, Giselle doesn't need a man and she's a strong woman, but Robin needs a man and Karen says she needs a man. She's strong only because she has the man.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole bunch of different things.
They've all bought into this old school notion of female value or woman's worth.
Yeah. But only when they choose to be. But when Giselle doesn't. Giselle,
I don't think it's Giselle's choice to be single.
Robin. That's true. But if you
Giselle
talk to her about it,
married,
she'll be like,
she'd be married.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, what am I supposed to say? If I'm single, but I don't want to be single, but I don't want to lose in front of these people who hate me, I'm going to tell you I'm happy with what I got.
Right.
You know, I don't necessarily think that the storyline with Jamal was fake. I just think that Giselle accelerated the situation so that she has something to present on TV because having a husband matters to her. I think Giselle would have married Sherman. And I think that that's the resentment she carries for Karen. But she don't want to bring Sherman up. on TV. So she won't articulate. I'm still mad at you for this. So now it's everything else. I'm sure the other stuff is built on top of it. But I think that's why she hated Monique. She'll never forgive Monique. Mm-hmm. That's why she was like, get Monique off this show. We got a chance. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I think she's mad at Karen for that. The same way that Karen is mad at Giselle for bringing up the taxes, but she don't want to bring up the taxes again. So she
brings up
say something else.
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys, this is such an incredible breakthrough that these women are actually mad about the thing that they're probably the most embarrassed about.
Yes.
But they won't talk about it. So they bring up some nonsense. Like Karen says to Giselle, I want you to apologize for using the word death. Which she never used. Giselle never said death. She never said it.
So she never used it. So how can she? And she wrote a big Instagram post about it too. I'm like,
that I don't think she's even still mad. I truly don't even think she's still
That's
mad.
Not
I think
the
she's
issue.
Overperforming for the
she
audience.
Is.
She the,
is.
The Kenya Moore effect.
Correct.
You get into an argument with Kenya or Giselle, and suddenly you're a fan favorite. What did Karen do last season other than not go along with Robin and Giselle and Wendy?
Nothing. And that's the thing. And I think Karen got a lot more fans last season for not taking Candace's side. I think that she saw that Candace is hated, universally hated by everybody. And so she decided, let me get to now be on Monique's side. Because it'll just give me, you know, I'll be the contrarian in this situation and I'll get time.
And that is also part of Wendy's attraction to Karen, in my opinion, this season as well. Why are you coming out the gate going after her?
Yeah, and that's why I will be a Karen stan, because I think she knows how to play this game. She just knows how to play the housewife game.
I don't even think she does, though. And I feel like, first of all, Karen is always late. Like, she's never on the right side on time. She's just on time enough to buy the reunion. Do you get what I mean?
Design, yeah. I think by design, she just slips in at the very last minute into the other city.
Because it's easiest to do that. Even this whole situation with Karen and Wendy. Like, so Giselle and Robin are truly being cruel by talking about Wendy this way.
So
I do think that, I think, Reg, you'll agree with me, because we've talked about how I think pretty much, I mean, you dislike Wendy for a special reason because you bring your own Nigerian baggage to it.
Yes. She's stresses me out, like all the Nigerian aunties. She stresses me out. But I know that girl. That girl's annoying as fuck.
But I think that you'll agree that, like, what the women are talking about, at some points they might be right, in saying that Wendy is being different than what she was last season, essentially. But what they're saying is that's a fact. It's definitely true, because she's coming in too hard, being too much of a tryhard.
Forward. She opened the season pretending to be naked and dancing awkwardly. Are you mad? I noticed. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. And then I think I could be wrong, but my assessment of the whole picking on Mia thing was she was resentful that at her titty bat mitzvah or whatever, like Mia was like, oh, I got titties too. Like that was like a weird, I don't mean to be intense, but I think that Wendy is so deeply insecure. I think that she is somebody who's been raised to seek external validation via academic performance and then career performance, and realizes now that she's a woman on a frivolous reality TV show, that might be more fun, and wants to pursue that, but does not know how to do that in a way that feels authentic, because she was never being authentic. I don't mean that in a malicious way. I think that if you're somebody who wants to toss around how many degrees you got all the time, you're somebody who doesn't see value in you other than those things. You know what I'm saying? I don't be talking around that I'm an Emmy nominated television writer in conversation. I'm such a dork.
Oh,
I'm
that
sorry.
Was a drop. Like, that was a drop. So good. My God.
But
I like how you slipped it in. No big deal.
But if I was somebody who brought that up, bitches like you address me as Emmy nominated.
We will.
You would think I was a loser. You would think I was a loser. You would think I was a loser. You would rightly think I was a loser. And I think if I responded to that, by instead of pulling back just a little on the name dropping or whatever, and still was myself and started being like, oh, here's my half top. I don't want to slut shame. That's not my interest or anything like that. Please get your titties and your ass done. But like, it's the only thing I talk about. It is valid to be concerned that mm-hmm. something happened to how I perceived myself in response to the general public. What I think is cruel is to try to attribute that to Eddie's yes, cheating rumors.
Correct.
That's evil. It's not only just evil. It's very misogynistic. Oh, yes. Her man don't want her. That's why she bought titties. Fuck you.
I was offended for Wendy in that, listen, I have a lot of baggage and mm-hmm. a lot of issues for me to feel insecure enough to get these titties.
Yeah.
Hello?
Do not say that I don't have enough of this. Why do I need Eddie to be insecure? That's how I felt. Like,
yes. That's hilarious. Yeah. That reminds me of a joke I used to do. I still do it a little bit, but it's like, yeah, this guy dumped me. He told me that he thought I had daddy issues. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm a strong woman. I broke me by myself, okay? Right.
I have my own damn issues.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
I have my own homegrown, self-grown, yes. self-inflicted issues. That has yeah. nothing to do with my daddy. Don't bring a man in here. That's all
yes,
I say.
Yeah.
Like, that's so the part that I'm offended about.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, even if they had, I don't think it should be criticism. I think it should be an observation. What's it to you that Wendy's titty forward, unless you genuinely care about her? Let her look stupid on TV. That's what I would have done. Mm-hmm. Also, I wouldn't bring my worldview, which is that it must be about a man because I'm insecure mm-hmm. about men. So obviously mm-hmm. any insecurity a valuable woman has to be around mm-hmm. a man too. That yeah. was Giselle's baggage. And I don't yeah. think Robin approached it from that angle at all. Robin no. was mostly just being like, bitch, you naked and it's weird.
Robin wasn't even talking about the bitch, you're naked and it's weird, or Eddie. Robin was mm-hmm. just like, this is just a new person who's like coming off colder than you were last season. And it's possible that Wendy is coming in to every, and we've seen actually that Wendy comes in to each gathering in her whatever outfit. She only wants to talk about her butt. She only wants to talk about her titties, which is fine. If I spent that much money and I look like that, I probably would want to talk about it too. But Robin, who is usually wearing Old Navy athleisure, yeah. is not interested in your titties and your butt. And
have we ever seen Robin in a gown besides reunions?
Like very rarely. Yeah. So Robin is probably coming from that sense of, this is just a different personality. And I do like think it. That Wendy held her own. She did a great job at the dinner
table. She did very good in that
addressing Giselle, talking about it from the sense of last year.
Especially when she wasn't prepared and they
yeah.
were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think she did awesome.
It was impressive that she was able to say all that and so calmly. Like yeah. she was prepared. She was expecting it. She yeah. didn't know it would come, but she was expecting not from Giselle in particular, but from the general audience.
The public.
And everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
was she was expressing a different part of her persona.
Yeah.
But it also felt a little bit like she was convincing herself of that. Like there was something insecure about herself that yeah. she was in her way talking to herself that I define my sexiness. You don't. Like she sure. needed to yeah. hear herself say that and acknowledge it.
It's possible that she was trying to convince herself because it's possible she has had these conversations with herself in the past.
Yes.
Because if she was wanting to get a boob job or wanting to get a Brazilian butt lift,
sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Wendy like sat Eddie down and was like, okay, here's the reasons I want to do it. And do you mm-hmm. think this is stupid? And here's what I'm thinking. Like she seems like somebody who is very like, she's constantly thinking about the shit that she's doing, which is smart in real life. But on a TV show like Real Housewives of Potomac, it comes off like a tryhard and it can be yeah. off-putting to the viewers. And I understand that.
The viewers don't get it because yeah. it's something I talked about in the last episode is that Wendy has all of these facets to her personality that all of us have.
Mm-hmm.
But Wendy is switching between those facets too fast and too hard.
Yeah.
And that is confusing the audience.
Yes, and, that's true. I think we, yes,
Giselle
that is so important.
And Robin yeah. are coming at it as if they are the audience instead
yes.
of the characters.
You're so right. That yeah. is so important because, yes, we need to also keep track that this is an edited show. And so we've been given a character. And mm-hmm. now suddenly the character that we or not me, but some people grew to love is behaving out of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't have an explanation. Right. Yes. This is Giselle's commitment to story. Look at you, Arty. But also, you know, you're a Giselle apologist and you don't even know.
You make me a Giselle stan when I'm trying to come at it from Wendy's standpoint, and all of a sudden she's like, no, you're Team Giselle.
Listen, there's a bunch of brown-eyed bandits on this show right now.
Yes. What happened? I was wearing Team Wendy t-shirt, and all of a sudden, I look in the mirror, it says Team Giselle.
No. Listen. I think we should all be Team Wendy this episode. I think we should all be Team Wendy this episode. Because ultimately, no matter what they intended, they were extremely cruel, and they made that woman cry when I have never seen her cry. She doesn't strike me as somebody who would be willing to do so on camera.
And here's where Queen Karen came in.
Okay. Oh, please. Okay, but I don't buy it.
Simon found her.
If it wasn't Giselle who said it, if it was Ascala who said it, Karen would not have given a fuck.
Yes. But here's the thing.
I'm talking about the player Karen, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
The player Karen knew. She saw the assignment. She saw an opening and she slid right in. She has Wendy for at least a couple of seasons in her corner, okay?
That's true. That's true. I do think that there's in that scene, though, I feel like, and this is just like maybe this is my own personal immigrant child baggage, but I feel like when Karen sits down and starts to talk to Wendy about it, and she says, if you're dressing for her, change your fucking clothes.
I loved that. That was like a really great line. I thought that was so great. If you're dressing for her, change your fucking clothes. I loved it.
She's holding her hand and she's looking into her eyes and she's having this really great conversation. And I felt like maybe in that moment, the reason why she started to cry is because Karen was likely giving Wendy a tenderness that she probably doesn't get from her mother. Not because her mother is not a love, like doesn't love her, but just because that's not a love language that immigrant parents, especially immigrant mothers, naturally speak. Mm-hmm. So for Wendy to have that moment where Karen's like, you can be whoever the fuck you want to be, I think that like that's probably also why Wendy started crying. And I was like, oh shit, because it was super moving.
I mean,
it was moving. Yeah. I thought, I was like, sometimes as phony as I thought that exchange, I don't think the words were phony. I think the motivation was phony. Mm-hmm. But if we remove my cynicism about her motivation, those are things that I would want somebody to say to me. Like even remove the context of the scenario. Like I would love affirmations like that in the mirror every morning. For sure.
Yes.
When Karen was holding her hands, Wendy did not shed a tear, and she cried more in that scene than Lisa Rinna's single tear coming down at the reunion. Did you not feel the emotion more from Wendy? Yes, because absolutely. It was so genuine.
Any person really crying would be too embarrassed to cry on camera, right?
Yeah.
Unless she's Shannon Bedore and fully nuts. But Rinna had only a single tear. Uh-huh. It would have been very quick to do away with.
Yeah.
She let it come. Oh my God.
It went all the way down.
It stained her shirt. That single fucking tear. That ain't real. I saw Wendy try to lie and say she misses her babies. Uh-huh. I saw Wendy try and be tough. I saw her try to hold it back. That was like, oh, this girl's feelings were really hurt. And I think also an element that maybe the general public and me, myself, I forget as well. I think that there was a respectability politics at play. I saw somebody tweet about this and I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, Robin and Giselle are not in the same sorority, but they're in the top two Black sororities. And Wendy is Giselle's sorority sister. So when she goes, I was looking at her like a big sister.
Oh,
this is a whole
different thing. Yeah, I noted that too. And that's a whole other layer.
Yes, because then it's like, I don't know the ins and outs. So please, if you're Greek, do not cuss me out. I'm just speculating. But I'm wondering
have you been Greek ever?
I was in a white sorority. Don't bring it up, okay? We don't talk about that. But I think it was like two Black Greek women being like, this other Black Greek is making all of us look silly on this TV show. And I think Wendy also received it that way, but framed it career wise. Or maybe it's part of it too, where she's just like, oh, don't sit here and be my big Greek sister trying to say I'm declassing the organization. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, you know what, like, I don't know. See, the problem is, oh, I'm going to sound like a mean bitch. The problem is.
It doesn't stop you. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to keep reading. What's the point of publicly being a Giselle and Kenya stan if you don't tell the truth?
Go ahead.
Huh. How do I say this without sounding like the worst person you've ever met? The problem with certain affirmations is that they exist to erase the negativity in the world altogether, as opposed to engaging with reality in certain ways. Yes, she should not be dressing for Giselle. Yes, do not change your clothes if you are dressing for Giselle.
Or anybody. But especially Giselle.
Especially after she violated you last night.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Especially after the way she dresses.
Oh, also. Especially. Especially that she still lets Cal do her hair. Oh, my God. Since season one.
Yeah, who said Giselle doesn't want to be made fun of if she's letting that happen all the time?
Giselle, somebody said that. That's hilarious. And also, I think Giselle has leaned into not dressing well. I think I think it's part of her brand now.
Yeah,
because she managed to look so good when she was on like Watch What Happens Live. It's like she's capable.
Yeah. She was trying to change and adapt and fit into the proper fashion mold, and then she said, "Fuck it," and bought that purple couch. And ever since then, she doesn't care.
I don't think she cares. But like, also, Wendy is doing too. I don't like she's doing too much, and we shouldn't. It's not anybody's place to make her small. I will never appreciate that. And but there's also like, I give a fuck about you and you bugging out a little bit. And I think that Karen's affirmations were dishonest in the sense that, yes, don't change anything to please these two women. Don't ever do that. But also, babe, you don't seem like yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like that the correction to the incorrect correction is to deny that a correction needs to be made. And whatever, Wendy may not feel like she needs to correct anything. It's not my place to say she needs to correct. I'm saying that I see that Wendy is not achieving her goal of making herself likable to the public. And she also seems unhappy. And I wish there were a way for her to find herself and also articulate that honestly. And that keeps me from rooting for her in a real way as a person who watches the show. I just find her extremely inauthentic. I dislike her the same way I dislike Mia. You know?
But I think what you're bringing up is that you don't want Karen to toxic positivity away to the point where Wendy never stops to do introspection to see what it might be about her that is making these women say these things. And it's a shame that Giselle presents it through the lens of misogyny.
It's a shame that it came from her at all.
Yeah,
because then shouldn't have.
Yeah, because then Wendy gets to say, fuck you, Giselle is a hater. She's a misogynist. I'm not dealing with this and I'm not looking into this at all. Instead of stopping and saying, well, wait, maybe they're hitting at something that might actually be real. And Karen is just trying to play the game. And she's like, I got my in. Here you go. And I do think Karen was being sincere in the way that she was talking to Wendy. I think she was being really lovely to her. But also Karen was like, I got another
friend. Her own vested interest.
Yeah. Right.
I think that the way that Ascala was responding was where it's just like, well, don't reduce her to these things. I think Wendy was so hurt when she said she seemed hurt in the confessional when she said she lacked substance. That seemed like a real jab at her.
And when that's been her whole life has been to have substance and not anything else.
That was, if I'm remembering correctly, that's when she started to well up during the conversation. She said, I had no substance. And so it's like, when Ascala supported her, no, girl, you can have substance and be sexy or whatever. That's exactly what Wendy needs to hear and should have heard, and is the kind of thing she needs to be saying to herself. But then also, I wish Robin had maybe pulled her aside by herself and been like, you're my friend. And I feel you're different. Talk to me.
Yeah.
But nobody was doing that to Robin either. So maybe they're not all friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah, it is okay to acknowledge what how they want to change their identity and say it's okay. But at the same time, say, my perception of what you're trying to do here is doesn't fit with who I know you to be. So explain to me.
And, yeah, and so just like talk to me.
Friend,
yeah.
Yes. And at that point, the friend can either say, fuck off. Nothing mm-hmm. is the problem. Or they can explore it. That's their choice. But they presented wrong to begin with.
Correct.
So Wendy fully gets to be like, screw y'all, F y'all or whatever. I just wish also there was somebody who had articulated for her plainly that you are being different and I just want to know what's up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't get to be a conversation at the table. But again, this public. Is a TV show and conversations at the table are a necessity.
The that particular conversation could have happened and had a better result if it had happened when Wendy walked in on just the two of them talking.
Yeah.
And she said, what's going on? And there wasn't this awkward silence and they weren't trying, they didn't tell her what was going on.
Are we sure that wasn't editing?
I think it could have been editing, but also two, I think that was also because Giselle is also playing the game and Giselle is also producer and Giselle also knows saving that this it is a better table. Conversation for
Correct.
The table. Exactly.
That's have why I did like a scholar being like, okay, girl, now your turn.
And then Giselle says she's not going to talk about it because apparently Karen is a troll, which is hilarious.
I love that. I think it's funny. I also think it's true, but you don't get to play that game on the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But then also later on when then after that, she continues to, you know, kind of badger Wendy. She looks at Wendy and says to her, if I can't ask Wendy a question, it's a problem.
Girl, what?
Right. I was like, Giselle, you don't get to say that.
Yeah. But the thing is, it wasn't Wendy who asked about the husband.
Yeah,
it was a scholar.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Right.
I would never have responded that way. I would have just told them what was up. But if I were Giselle and Karen were at the table and we are going through what Giselle thinks she and Karen are going through, we also are not talking about my man. Because Giselle's father saying with 6-7 baby mamas, he wasn't being literal. That man knows he doesn't have 6-7 baby mamas.
It's actually nine or ten, right?
But like, clearly her daddy was exaggerating because he hates the man. Mm-hmm. For Karen to then, you know that, like, I'm not saying that Giselle is right because Giselle has brought up raised taxes or whatever. I think Giselle's issue is that I have never lied on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran with this story that my husband or my boyfriend or whatever has 6-7 baby mamas and got somebody pregnant while he was dating me in the present, right now, because you wanted to side with Monique for fans. And I think that there's a tacit agreement between them. And I think both of them know that somebody crossed the line at some point, but isn't, you know, like we just said before.
I think they understand that the show works because of the two of them going at each other.
Oh, sure.
And now they become like interdependent on each other. It's going to come to a point where one of them will have to give because one of them will not
succeed. Think Giselle's going to give before Karen will.
Well, what's interesting is that I don't know where Karen was. I think it was either Wendy Williams or Watch What Happens, but they asked who would you get rid of on your cast? And Karen said, I wouldn't get rid of anybody on our cast because the show is our show because of each woman that gets to be on it, including Giselle. Who she fucking hates.
Yeah.
Quote,
the same
quote.
When Nene would never want a Kenya fire.
Yeah.
Karen's existence in the show is only dependent as a counterpoint to Giselle. And Giselle's existence is so slightly as a counterpoint to Karen. That's where that Giselle has the fine win there, that Giselle could be just as messy with every other housewife and doesn't necessarily have to go only against Karen, but Karen doesn't quite exist if there's no counterpoint of Giselle in the show.
I think what ends up happening on Real Housewives of Potomac is Giselle is clearly fun, right? Like she's actually a fun person to be around.
I want to hang with her.
Yeah, I definitely want to.
I want to hang with Robin more. Robin is my favorite on this cast.
But
I have a feeling she's free most mornings until about 12 o'clock. Just show up. You could line up, line a couch and watch a movie or something.
But I think that when people enter their social circle, even if it was before the show, right? Because these women were actually, they knew each other in real life before the show. I think that people want to be friends with Giselle because she is so fun.
Also, she's pretty and popular.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, those are things. We're human beings. Yeah. It's true.
I think that Karen also probably at some point wanted to be friends with Giselle like that. Likely got burned in some way because Giselle does burn people. And now Karen's whole thing is when anybody new comes into the group and wants to immediately become friends with Regina George, she's now the other girl in the movie in Mean Girls who's like, my job is to make sure everybody knows what a bitch Giselle is. And she presents it in a way of, I care about this person getting hurt, but really it's not about the person getting hurt. She just wants to make sure that Giselle doesn't have any friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Giselle's always saying that Karen has no friends, and I think it's true.
It is true. It is true, and Karen desperately wants Giselle to be her friend.
You think
that? And she doesn't get it. Giselle doesn't want to be, and that bothers Karen.
And do you know that, Karen has... Karen really aggressively goes after Robin a lot. Like, she'll overreact to Robin, right? And I was listening to their podcast, one episode, don't judge me, but it wasn't good enough to stick around.
That's one more than one did.
Yes, exactly. That's true. But Giselle says that she's the one who chased Robin down for friendship, that Robin didn't really stress her that much, but she's the one who made Robin her best friend.
Robin is essentially a lazy person. I'm telling you, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. Not a bad thing. That's just her personality.
She's not
going to try way too hard to make friends. You have to be her friend because she's not going to do all the trying. She's not going to go deeper and figure out how to hurt Wendy. She'll let Giselle do it. She's not going to bother. She's just going to say, what's up, Wendy? Why are you different? And that's about it. She's not going to try hard to be a villain. Her laziness saves her because she's not ever at the front lines because she's
so sure. I'm just wondering if Karen is resentful of that friendship, since you guys think that she's
because she
responds to Robin with such vitriol, which doesn't make sense.
Never. And I think if tomorrow Robin wanted to ride for Karen the way that she rides for Giselle, Karen, that would be Karen's fucking dream. She wishes that somebody would, and nobody does. Unfortunately, she had it in Candace.
She had it in Candace and sacrificed it for popularity.
Yes. She had it in Candace. She sacrificed it for Monique. Then she brought in Mia. Now Mia is somewhere floating around and she's just glad to find Wendy. And she's like, Wendy, you be my second in command. You be my Robin to my Batman. That's what
they're building that foundation off of. Disliking somebody, it's not going to stand.
I know.
That's where I think the sorority sister bond may play off to Karen's advantage there.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's, if you really think about it, it's like Game of Thrones. It's all about like alliances and shit.
Which is so frustrating as a fan because, you know, I'm on the message boards and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you'll start to see, I noticed that there are a lot of fans of Housewives who have to binge because they're 16. So they're not watching like this in real time. Like none of this feels organic, or we're not watching it week to week the same way.
Yes.
And or they're like retroactively watching something. So they come in standing somebody and don't appreciate relationship dynamics and stuff. And so I noticed on like Reddit and stuff, people will say alliance about what are supposed to be friendships. And that really frustrates me as a reality TV watcher, because now we can see too much. And I don't know if that's a problem of the audience. Well, we've had the genre for 30 years now, so we are going to know it. Or if that's a problem of production, who are so invested in dramatic moments that they don't care that we've been totally taken out of the premise of these shows. Why would you call, you know, Kenya, Cynthia, and Candy an alliance? Why wouldn't they just be three friends who agree with each other on something?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't like what's happened.
I think that's more of a viewer thing for sure. But I think the producers feel it as well. by like they get the calls for like when they're going to film stuff. So production also gets to decide who gets to film together on a particular filming day. So I think that production also is involved in that a little bit, or like they're
but
part
the of Beverly Hills women named their alliance like it's Big Brother. They call themselves Fox 4 or 5. So it's like so they're bringing it. It's so corny, like a Quentin Tarantino movie, you dorks.
But here's the thing about alliances, right? So I'm thinking I'm listening to you talk about it, and I'm thinking about this other show that we have to talk about now. That doesn't quite apply because the idiots on Shaz, their alliances don't mean a thing. So it's like,
no.
Because Reza stabs everybody he's in an alliance with.
It's just the same 8 to 9 people going at each other. It's like, you know, in a globe or a closed atmosphere. It's a closed, closed system where they're just banging against each other. And there's no alliance. Whoever ends up in whichever corner, all of a sudden there's an alliance.
They're all childhood friends with two random people they added to the cast later. So it's like you can't be like, there's not like maybe Reza, but there's nothing that the audience can say to me that would make it okay for me to violate somebody I knew when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
If I was gonna violate them, I did it myself, like Reza did. You know, if I'm gonna tell everybody that MJ's on drugs, it's not because the fans hate her, it's because I hate her.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's true. Shaz is the one show where the fights are uninformed by the audience. The fights are more organic because they all just eventually pick up on a thing. Like, there's so much history that if of the 30 years of history, there's some shit that they could bring up from 28 years ago that is enough reason for them to come for that person. And that's why I love
But it Shaz also is enough reason for them to stick around, right? Yeah. Yes, Reza versus Mike every other season is tiring, but like, it's not tiring the way that, you know, Kenya and Portia is tiring, because I'm not constantly asking why they're still friends. I ask why Reza and Mike are still friends only because I feel like the friendship is toxic and you should learn how to let toxic family go.
Mm-hmm.
I ask why Portia and Kenya are in the same quote unquote friend group, because it's very clearly obvious that they wouldn't be there together if there wasn't a paycheck involved. And so now you're taking me out of the show when I'm aware that they would have nothing to do with each other if not for this camera.
So I agree.
That's like the benefit of a Shaz or even early season Vanderpump Rules, where it's like, we've invested in each other emotionally before we got this job.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for me to let Jax punish me to the point that I'm crying on TV. Jax fucked my girlfriend and we still hang. That's because we did coke together 10 years ago. That's why that is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's talk about Shaz of Sunset. So this was the finale of Shaz of Sunset. So they had a CBD dinner, they went fly fishing, and then they did a spirit animal thing. So Gigi basically keeps appropriating shit that she doesn't understand.
Are they going to do her like they did my girl Kenya?
Nobody did. Nobody did. It pissed me off.
I just want to say...
But Mike finally admits that he is, in fact, addicted to the attention from anybody.
Not sex.
He just likes to talk to people that Paulina doesn't want him to talk to because he likes the attention, and he just likes pissing his girlfriend off.
He thinks that's the cost of business.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And his girlfriend likes that because then she can control
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but we think that Mike and Paulina have this sort of like transactional setup where Mike gets to feel important by being a girl dad, quote unquote, and Paulina gets to feel important by dating a reality TV star. So,
but she's like so gorgeous and like wealthy. She doesn't have to.
No, but here's the thing. Paulina she got married really young. She was one of those girls who grew up super conservative, Jewish Persian, got married really young, had a bunch of kids, married a really rich guy, got divorced, got a bunch of money, and is now like feeling herself in her.
Oh, she's doing her Wendy phase. She's in her
Wendy. In a very different way, but a similar thing where she's now getting to explore this other thing where she probably does like, you know, rails of coke with her gross boyfriend who's on a reality TV show, but she gets to have that life and that attention, and Mike gets to feel like a productive person in society by being a stepdad to these girls.
So it's like symbiotic toxicity.
Yes.
Mike's younger brother is married, has kids. He's already under all of the dentist is his younger brother. It's like everything is
that
done.
Would feel like shit.
So he wants, in his mother's eyes and in his family's eyes, he's a failure in the department of family. Paulina comes in with the ready-made family too, so he can say,
"Yes, look, but how greedy are you, Mike? Like, you don't get to be on TV, also have your parents think that you're Jesus, and then, well, he's Jewish, so you don't get to have all these things. You don't get to be a terrible guy in romantic situations and have your mom's respect and be liked by everybody in your circle on the reality TV show, and don't piss off your girlfriend and get to be the girl that, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Greedy bastard. I know.
All while telling Gigi that, like, you can't be in a polyamorous relationship and also be a mom. Like,
Mike, you're like, what? You chauvinistic dirtbag.
So gross.
So great. It's so frustrating because so annoying is that they baby Mike in this episode and I'm on their side because Reza sucks so much.
Yes.
It's so annoying because he gets everything he wants and he's going to get more from me, from a viewer.
Yeah.
It's like, can you imagine if we're sitting here mad at Wendy for titties? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, men are so obnoxious. All Wendy wanted to do was have 4 degrees and 2 big titties. And I am mad at her. And Mike gets to do all this.
Yes.
Now, what do you think about this letter that Reza wrote to Tommy? And should Tommy have read it or ripped it up as he did?
I don't remember the exact wording.
It was like 4 lines. It was like a greeting card.
It wasn't, but there was the way he phrased not getting to see Shams really pissed me off.
Yes.
It was you keeping Shams from me.
Yes.
And I said, what?
He said something like, you keeping your son from me.
As if he were entitled to that baby. As if he had done nothing to escalate things in such a way that they would arrive at banning him from seeing his child. I was like, this man can't see outside himself for anything. He can't even lie in an apology to get what he wants. Because if it means that much to see baby Shams, and at this point, I'm starting to think of baby Shams as a trophy for him, not actually wanting to meet his friend's baby. But it's like, if I wanted to meet MJ's baby that bad, and I knew the only thing standing between me and meeting that baby was me placating her husband, I wouldn't remind him, you aggressively, you're keeping me, your child, you're away from me. I would be begging to be given. You know, I would be flattering. I would be complimenting. I just couldn't believe it. I was just like, the entitlement was gross. And I couldn't believe MJ teared up at that. I was like, girl, what? Like, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only part that MJ teared up was when he said that it was filled with regret. And so she was like, okay.
And that's not even. Yeah. That's not even. I am filled with regret. If your husband cheated on you.
Yeah.
If your husband cheated on you and you caught him and your husband cheats, he has an outside baby. And he's holding this baby in front of you like this. And he's like, Nor, I'm filled with regret. I've had a son. You would stab him, no regrets.
No regrets. I would stab him, no regrets, yes.
Don't no regrets me. Full of regret me. Nigga, you sorry. You better be sorry.
It's so funny because right. The cat clip up, I saw the Watch What Happens afterwards a little bit because it was like, I just let it play. And he asked Reza, what did you think about watching Tommy rip up your letter? And Reza was like, well, it was pretty hard to watch because I really put in a lot of thought into what I wrote. I was like, bro, you wrote like 4 lines.
Yeah, he put in a lot of thought to not apologize. Yeah. There's something that bothers me about a man who can't apologize. Mm-mm. Because I find that I'm apologizing all the time. That's just the way women are raised. You know? I apologize for hitting my desk. I'll be like, sorry.
Yeah.
To a desk I bought with my knee, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm filled with regret because I told the universe that your wife's uterus exploded. I'm filled with regret.
He didn't even say, I have regret. He's like, all I'm left with is regret.
That's all?
That's no shame?
Shame.
There's no shame?
Embarrassment.
I know. They're the best.
Regret. And I feel like regret is one of those words that every time I hear somebody use it, it's never about them and what they've done. It's like, I regret that you feel that. Or I like regret sort of puts it on the other person.
The other person.
I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I feel regretful that you feel bad.
Yeah. You regret the reaction, but not necessarily your own actions.
Your own action. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I'm left with is regret because all the positivity you took away. So now it's your fault that I'm left with regret.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's putting the fault on the other person.
And it's so stupid. Like, you know, I've seen people say, oh, you know, Tommy needs to get over it. Nope. Mm-hmm. Psych. Never. Mm-hmm.
No.
Never. I don't think he'll ever let go of it. And I wouldn't. I mean, it might come down to MJ needs her job. So it might be an economic decision for him to finally let it go. But you don't get to have a restraining order on me and tell me that you're going to see my son. Fuck. You.
Yeah.
Like, never.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have been at your house. I shouldn't have done none of that shit. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. You still don't get to see my son. If I gotta stay 100 yards away, everything that has half my DNA gotta be 100 yards away too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you crazy?
And also, crazy? Tommy paid the price for it. He served time in jail. He had a restraining order. He has it on his records. Like, now Arthi's brought it up, like, every episode. If he gets a background check for a job, that shit is coming up. So that could also lead to things, whereas Reza gets to what, not see a fucking baby? Move on.
Yeah.
Go on Instagram and watch it like this rest of the people. Make a fence.
You created the restraining order. Yeah, that means you want nothing to do with me. So why you want something to do with my child?
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right.
You want nothing to do with
me. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If I'm that dangerous, why would you want to see my child?
Yeah.
I'm going to raise my kid dangerous. Yeah. Next time he see you, he going to beat your ass too. Right. You know, like, we dangerous in this whole family.
I would pay to watch Shams and Dub.
Yeah, you know Tommy's like erasing baby Shams to like beat the shit out of Reza one day.
I think their baby's gonna be beautiful.
Oh,
I
think he's so gorgeous already.
Yeah,
he's really cute.
What do you guys think of, like, I don't know where Gigi's ending this story?
It's confusing to me that Gigi is quote unquote shown as like grown up and like the voice of reason, because she may have done some introspection over the last like whatever year because she was home with a baby and whatever. But Gigi seems like somebody who hasn't done enough of that work for me on camera for me to believe that she is now this person who like gets to sit and explain to people where they're right and wrong. The thing is, she's often right. The way she's talking to Reza and Mike, she's right about her takes on them. But I just need to see more of the work that Gigi is doing. And until I see her work, I don't believe that she's changed.
Gigi feels like she got the medication just right.
Yeah.
So she's functioning at her optimal. And we haven't seen that functioning from Gigi before. So it's sort of, we need to see what changed, what made that one change. She hasn't discussed it. She does talk about it a little bit about cannabis, but she doesn't tell you how that change occurred.
High all the time and I am not reasonable. So there's something else happening.
I was also thinking about Gigi though, like every season since the beginning of her time on Shaw's, Gigi's sort of been shown as like a rich girl, doesn't have a job. Everybody in the beginning was doing like real estate. Gigi did like, I think, like hair extensions. And then we never really saw Gigi have a career. And that was a big part of it because she had her sister Layla reminding her of that.
She still didn't have a career.
And right. And so the interesting thing about her is that we've not seen her have anything that sticks. Like she had that marriage that was a big mess.
Oh, yeah.
And now it seems like the baby is the one thing that has stuck for Gigi for her to feel.
Because you can't just hand it off.
Yeah. Well, although a lot of times this season, she doesn't be handing the baby off
to the nanny.
Yeah. She shows up, the baby's there, she feeds the baby like one thing, then the nanny comes, she's like, get this fucking baby away from me. And then, like, I gotta film for my job, right? Like, but I think that Gigi finally has sort of the same way Mike feels that he needs to have a purpose. Gigi probably feels like this is her one way to show, like, I'm a put together human because I'm able to have this baby.
Mm.
So I feel like maybe that's what's helped her. But we don't still really know,
we don't know what Gigi does.
No. The problem with also this like sage Gigi edit is that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out these two basic motherfuckers. Reza is a narcissist, so is Mike. The end.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's true.
It's Mike, you can't keep a girlfriend. We all know that.
Yeah.
Reza's terrible. We all know that. Yeah. Reza, leave him alone. Mike, break up with your girl. I mean, she's stating the obvious. Yeah, right. You know?
That's true. Right. Earlier we were talking about regret, and I want to know, do you think Jen Shah, after watching the Salt Lake City trailer, do you think that she's going to have any regrets this season?
No, anybody who filmed after the embarrassing arrest that she got.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure she needed money. It's a similar Erica Jane situation. Mm-hmm. But anybody who would do all the stuff on social media that we saw her do post-arrest, anybody has no shame. So she has no regrets. Mm-hmm. I think that she's convinced herself she's going to go out with a bang a la Monique and... Even we saw her comparing herself to the Potomac girls for no reason on like Instagram.
She was?
Yeah. She was like twerking or something. She was like, they don't do this down in Potomac. And I was like, bitch, what are you talking about?
Excuse me.
And you know, she has that weird fixation with Black women that I'm aggressively against.
Yes.
Has she seen Giselle shake her fat vagina?
Earthy.
Is it fat?
That's what Karen said.
Karen said
all the time. But like, I was like, I've never seen Giselle in a bodysuit, you know, Karen, trying to.
He's like lower body shaming.
I've seen the hip thrust. Giselle does the awkward hip thrust. I've seen it. But is it like a fat vagina? Yeah, she's always talking about her cankles.
She called her like stovepipe legs or something. She called her cankles.
She's also very obsessed with Giselle's vagina. She mentions it all the time.
This is the second time she's referencing Giselle's vagina.
Right?
Yeah.
But listen, I can't stand Jen Shah. If we're talking about the Salt Lake City trailer real quick.
Yeah, we are.
I know that I'm always on the wrong side of the audience with these things.
Go ahead. Commit. Do it.
I'm so unimpressed with Heather. I am so unimpressed.
Yes.
I am so unimpressed. Oh, poor me. I left the... I don't care. I don't care. You're an overly needy friend and you seek external validation in a way that is extremely exhausting. You are such a white woman. I can't stand it. And... White listeners, I don't mean that in an aggressive way. I just mean that when black people are with each other and we decide to waste time making fun of you, we picture Heather.
You know? But I think you're absolutely right. I think you're right because when I watched this trailer, I saw, you know, Heather, it seems like Heather is really on Jen's side. A lot of chatter online was like, why do you think this is? And there was a lot of people that were like, oh, well, maybe Heather believes Jen, whatever. Maybe she's writing for her, whatever. First of all, I think that we could come up with a million reasons, but Heather is also a viewer of Bravo and Housewives for like 20 years. Heather knows Heather knows that Jen Shah, especially after the arrest, is going to be getting all of the screen time. So what is Heather going to do? Heather's probably going to film as much as possible with Jen.
On her Rinna shit?
Yes.
I think. But Heather doesn't think she's a Rinna, though. I don't know
she
that.
She presents Heather herself like
she's
a.
She's trying. She's
she
trying.
Presents herself like a not Rinna, but mm-hmm. I think she is navigating like a Rinna right now.
Yeah.
Because Heather, I don't know how she did it, truly. I watched the same season everyone else watched, and mm-hmm. I was like, how do you not see that this woman is a nut job? And
see, we didn't, actually. We both loved Heather.
And it's really? Not that we didn't see that she was a nut job. It's just that there was a lot of, like, anxiety and, like, a lot of feelings that we related to.
I just dismissed that as white, man. Seriously. And I'm not one of these people.
She's like, what? That's white. That's what we call it.
Yeah, that's some Shannon Bedore shit.
Yes, because, and I hate Shannon Bedore. Like, my thing is, like, why are you so needy?
Yeah.
And maybe that's the baggage I bring, because if I were needy, no one would attend to my needs. Yeah. I'm a Black woman. Mm, nobody would have the same sympathy. It's like, Heather is just so needy. Like, even that scene in the season finale when they were fighting, and then she's like, I just want you to love me. Something so stupid. Yeah. I was like, this is such a scene from Full House. What is this dork doing? What are we doing? Like, why are you begging this bitch to be here? Like, this was so weird. It's like, let me fight for you.
Two completely different Heathers, because the Heather we were watching is somebody who came from an oppressed community.
Yeah.
And the first time seeing freedom. And I threw that away. It's like,
I threw that away when she started on her I'm a good person because I suck black dick journey. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I can see. I know that was a lot of the reaction, because a lot of Heather's explaining that she is different than Mormons was associated with her obsession with blackness. And I think that can be so off-putting for black people.
And then for her to align herself with Jen Shah, who is obsessed with black women in a way that I think is extremely weird.
Yeah.
Listen, black women can be self-haters, but why is Jen Shah, who's obsessed with black people, trying to wear black women's skin because she's married to a black man, coming at the only black woman on the cast for not being black enough? You could suck my dick with that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like Jen's fixation on black people, and then Heather's fixation on black people, both because they like black dick. Like, get a grip. Fuck the both of y'all. Like, that shit is weird as fuck. I also think somebody tweeted, when will we acknowledge that Heather single white female Lisa? And it's true.
It's true. Yes, it is true.
Yeah.
I didn't even like Lisa. I thought Lisa had the potential for amazing villainess, but she's too greedy. She wants to be a good guy so bad, even though she's a huge bitch. So she's not ready. Mm-hmm. We'll see what she does with season two. I think Meredith has made the full bitch turn, and she's going to be stand because of it. She's going to be like,
you know, Brooks is holding her up high and holding her.
Brooks is helping, but Meredith seems to, in that trailer, be leaning in. You know, when she's like, fraud. Like, you know, when she's closing the door, Meredith has fully come like, oh, I'm going to be the bitch. I'm the bitch we stand. You know what I'm saying?
Lisa
has so much potential, but she's too greedy. And, you know, I think she genuinely thinks she's a good Mormon woman. LOL, LOL, LOL.
I know.
And so she is trying not to be a dickhead on TV. But girl, be a dickhead on TV.
Yeah, these we want to see gonna you
disown
be a dickhead.
You anyway. They saw you selling booze on TV. They think they have you back.
Yeah. Do we think that Meredith told on Jen to the feds because Jen made fun of
No. I totally believe that the feds reached out. Brooks just said, this is the shooting
where
schedule.
Where they're producing? Okay.
Yeah, this is the shooting schedule. Here, I will blab to you.
I think it's more something like that.
I know where my mother keeps the schedule.
The feds
here it
have
is.
Been investigating this is where they're going for 8 years.
They were.
Right?
They were
going to find her one day or other. I'm sure Brooks just, like Arthi said, it's so funny to catch her on camera. Go get her.
Go get her.
You know, I really don't think Meredith did that. It would be very stupid for Meredith to do that.
No, and also Heather being like, why would they know that you're a beauty lab? Because they're the fucking feds and you're filming a TV show. What do you mean?
Do you think they did not get the schedule when they asked for it?
Yeah.
Exactly. How sheltered are you?
Yeah.
You didn't hear about cops in Utah?
Like, exactly. They would go to Bravo TV and say, that, here's the FBI yeah. case. We need the schedule. You cannot exactly. talk about it.
Yeah, the FBI said, hi, we have a warrant for her arrest, and we need to know where she is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
These are, no, yeah, Andrew these Joseph are, Cohen was like, yeah, release yeah, that information. Exactly.
And then also, I just want to say, Whitney was my favorite last season.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I'm nervous because Whitney was my favorite because I just think she's adorable. She didn't necessarily bring much except for starting a fight accidentally at Sharif's birthday party. And Jen, because Jen's a nutbag, took it way too far. But then I remember in the trailer, my beloved Whitney said, no worries about me, sweet Rafat. I brought you. And then they show Whitney go, she said that you told on her, or something like that. And then Meredith and Jen are fighting. Jen is in Meredith's face. And yeah. Whitney is sitting back on some Ashley Darby shit. Like, go ahead and fight. Okay, yes.
Yeah. You know, Whitney has a lot of Ashley Darby potential.
She does. She does.
She's like the baby of that
beautiful
group.
Beautiful yeah. and ditzy and
yeah. married to an old dude.
Her unconventional yeah. marriage.
Yeah.
But she bringing a fight. She bringing a mess.
Yeah.
She
no, we your mess. Favorite Lisa, she's going to lead the investigation against Mary Cosby's weird church mm-hmm. and cult shit.
So that might make me turn on Lisa, my Sagittarius queen.
Right.
Yeah, that'll make me, because I think we should always be wary of like cults and stuff. If my friend is in legal trouble, I'm not going to help the legal process. I'll mention it if it comes up, right? But like, if the feds haven't indicted Erica Jane, right? Mm-hmm. Who am I to come to the show and be like, they say you're doing illegal shit? I would not do that.
Yeah.
So
what? But isn't it so white girl of her to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be like, oh, I'm going to call the cops on this black cult that yeah. I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and to get a black dude to do, I don't know. I don't like that. And like I said, I think Lisa's greedy. She's trying to be the good girl or whatever. And so the great way is to position herself against the cult scammer. And I think that's going to blow up in her face. Mm. I think there's a weird faction of people who love Mary Cosby for whatever reason. So.
On the internet.
Yeah.
The like
internet
viewers.
Finds the weirdest people. There's like communities liking the weirdest shit. You know what I'm saying? So. Mary Cosby has stans. Also, she's going to have stans because she's the only black woman on a white show. Mm-hmm. Black people always show up for other black people.
But she holds her own. She holds her own. And so in some weird way, she's like unbothered by
the fact that she got invited back to the show when she fell asleep at the reunion is absurd.
She's unbothered.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need to try hard. She sat in her closet and made it to second season. I mean, that's respect.
I don't want Mary to be a fan favorite on the show, but I think it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to be a fan favorite because I do think the church is problematic. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's fucked up for Lisa to be the one to bring that to the show.
It's uncomfortable to watch a bunch of white women come after this black woman for her problematic church, even though several
They're
of
all
those white women belong to Mormon churches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You in a cult too, bitch? Yeah. What are we talking?
Yeah, you signed up for that cult. You weren't even born into it, Lisa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I will never try getting you into, unless you stabbed my mother or raped somebody, I'm not trying to get you into legal trouble for a storyline. Like, it has to be particularly heinous. And it's like duping people who want Jesus. I mean, how's that different from anything else? You know?
Yeah. And all of it is the same. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. We're going to wrap up our chat.
Ray, tell us where our audience can find you. And I know you're doing stand-up now.
Yeah, I'm doing stand-up. So go to Twitter and Instagram to find out dates. Twitter at Ray Sani, Instagram at RawFizzle87. And I keep lying to the public that this podcast is coming out, but it is. I swear to God. It's called Dizziest Be at the Table. And it'll just be me talking about stuff like this and in pop culture and whatever man I'm angry at that week. I promise it'll come before the end of next week. I swear to God. Ooh, I shouldn't have done that. But
you're in luck because not a ton of people listen to us, so you're okay.
I did, but I told that lie on two podcasts this week.
Oh, no.
You told our audience it's a lie, so they're not going to be expecting
much. Yeah, they're not mad. They're not going to be mad. Your audience is the good audience. Nobody lets me break this down like this anyway. Everybody else is just like, we just want to talk about Fuckboy Island. I don't know why you're doing PhD level psychoanalysis.
Oh, man. But thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Well, if for everybody else, I don't know what week when we're releasing this, if this is a Saturday episode or a Wednesday episode, but we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
I waved like they could see me.